The song we have just completed, Redeemed, conveys the idea that we had violated God's law and had to be redeemed with the precious blood of Jesus. When I think about redemption, I think about a coach in Oklahoma several years ago when I was trying to play football in high school, and a boy made a blunder out on the field, and the coach grabbed him by the nape of the neck, and told him to go back into the game and redeem yourself. Now, that conveyed the idea the boy had made a blunder. And of course, in regard to our redemption, we have sinned. And the only way we can be redeemed is through the blood of Jesus, by obeying the gospel of the Lord. Good to have you present for this 4th of July weekend, this Lord's Day, which happened to be on the 4th. We do appreciate the fact that you've come out to the house of God to worship God in spirit and in truth. Appreciate Doug, of course, mentioning a number of things, including our Vacation Bible School, which will begin next Saturday. And I believe we set the time at 9:30 to give us a little bit more time. We're going to meet. I want to mention sort of what we're going to do. The children will meet in the classrooms and at that hour, and then I'm going to teach a class over to the left over here of adults. I hope that you'll come and participate in this Vacation Bible School. You need to encourage the young people. They'll be, when they come in from the class, they'll be seated over here at my right, and they'll be giving scriptural quotations, asking Bible questions, and Art will be leading them in some children's songs. And they appreciate encouragement from adults. And so I hope that you'll make your plans to be here next Saturday at that time. We hope to have a good time and study from the Word of God at that hour. You know, ladies and gentlemen, the most colorful character, I guess, in the New Testament is the Apostle Paul. He wrote more of our New Testament than any other man. I want to talk for a little while today on what Paul saw when he was blind. Now, in the text which was read from Acts 22, we find that Paul was struck blind on the Damascus Road. When you say what Paul saw when he's blind, it sounds almost like an oxymoron or a paradox of some kind, because someone says, how could you see when you're blind? Well, what we mean by that is Paul saw through his mentality these things, not necessarily with his eyes, because, as you know, he was blind at this time. But he did see some things. And I want to mention some things in the Bible that he saw, because I think it'll help other people, especially who need to be converted. There are a lot of lessons taught in this. First of all, ladies and gentlemen, I want you to know that the conversion of Paul is mentioned at three places in Acts of the Apostles: Acts 9, Acts 22, Acts 26. Acts 9, Dr. Luke, or Luke, the beloved physician, records the conversion. In 22, Paul reiterates it to some Jews when he's preaching to them. In Acts 26, he stood before King Agrippa and his beautiful sister Bernice, or Bernice, and preached the gospel, and he mentioned his conversion there. And so it's mentioned three different times. And I'll be quoting or telling all three of them. What you do, you take all three, Acts 9, Acts 22, and Acts 26, and you get all of the import of what took place on the Damascus Road. So let's get the setting of our lesson today, and then I want to talk about what he saw in just a moment. First of all, Paul was on his way to Damascus to bind Christians. He was worshiping God under Judaism. That was his religion. He was a very sincere man, very honest man. But he felt that the Church of the Lord, which had come in existence over the day of Pentecost, was made up of a bunch of heretics, people who had broken off from the main body of Judaism. And he felt that they were in error, and that they were teaching error, and that he was telling the truth, and that they needed to be, punished, even killed. Now, he felt this sincerely. There wasn't any dishonesty on his part. He just honestly mistaken. That's all. They're just like a lot of people out here in the religious world. They're honest people, but they're just mistaken. Paul was just flat mistaken. Well, he said, I did it in ignorance and unbelief. He told Timothy that. And there are a lot of people who fall into that category today. Well, he was on his way to Damascus, and that's when all of this took place. And as you had in the text earlier from Acts 22, and you could read the same thing in Acts 9 if you wanted to. But anyway, Paul was on the Damascus Road, and suddenly there shone from heaven this great light. And the Bible said it was brighter than the noonday sun. Well, that's bright. I don't know whether you ever, did you ever try to look at the sun about noon when it's on a clear day? Well, it'd be foolish to try to do it very long. You'd probably lose your eyesight because that sun's bright. And yet the Bible, in describing this light, which was a miracle, and evidently it was so strong it struck Paul down, knocked him to his knees or knocked him down. And by the way, those colleagues with him, and he had some people with him who evidently were helping him arrest Christians and bring them back to Jerusalem to be punished and killed. They were knocked to the ground. The whole group went down. Now, the difference was Paul was blinded, but the ones with him weren't blinded, but they were knocked down by the light. It must have been a tremendous light because the sun itself is very bright. We're about 93 million miles from the sun, but it's still bright. And the Bible says this was brighter, this light that came down on Paul and at that time was brighter than the noonday sun. And while he was down, he heard a voice saying, "Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me?" At first, he didn't really know who the voice was or who it represented. And he said, "Who art thou, Lord?" That is, he knew it was deity. And he said, "I'm Jesus of Nazareth, whom thou persecutest." Someone said, "Well, had Paul heard of Jesus of Nazareth?" Oh, you better be sure he had. Now, he didn't follow him. He probably may not even, he didn't believe in him at this time. But he'd heard of Jesus of Nazareth. And that's all the Lord said to him, to identify himself. He said, "I'm Jesus of Nazareth. I am the true Messiah. Where I'm from Nazareth." Someone said, "Why did he say that?" Well, there were some other false Christs who run around the country over there claiming to be the true Christ at that time, and they didn't come from Nazareth. And so what Jesus is doing, "Paul, I'm letting you know that I am the true Messiah. There are others that came before me. There'll be some that come after me, but I'm the Jesus of Nazareth. Do you understand that?" Well, he did. He understood which Jesus it was because others had claimed to be Jesus. And so he said, "I'm Jesus of Nazareth, whom thou persecutest." Now, the second thing I noticed, ladies and gentlemen, is that Jesus said Paul was persecuting him. Well, Jesus is up in heaven at the right hand of God in David's spiritual throne. How could he get up there? Well, he didn't mean he was persecuting him personally, but he was persecuting his people, the church. That's what Paul was doing. Now, I learned from that, that when you persecute the church of the Lord or do anything to hurt it, you are hurting Jesus. I know that. I can prove it by the Bible. I've just proven it. When you persecute God's people or hurt the church, and it's made up of people, by the way. Now, what Paul was doing is arresting them and taking them to Jerusalem to be punished and killed. And he endorsed even the stoning of Stephen, the first Christian martyr. The point that I'm trying to make to you, ladies and gentlemen, is when you hurt the church, you hurt Christ. And we as members of the church ought to get that message. When you do it by hurting some brother in the church, or whether you do it by your life, by failing to live up to what the Bible says, if you hurting the church in that sense, you're hurting Christ. And I've just proven it. It's in the book. And we need to be cognizant of that as members of the body of Christ. And certainly need to walk circumspectly, as Paul said to the Ephesians. He said, "I'm Jesus of Nazareth, whom thou persecuted." He said, "Lord, what would you have me to do?" That was read in your hearing. Now, the Lord didn't tell him what to do because the Lord has put the gospel in the hands of preachers called earthen vessels. And you know what the Bible says. The Lord says, "You go into the city and it'll be told you what to do, all that you must do." So Paul, being blinded by the light, was led by the ones in his company. Now, even though the light knocked them down, it didn't blind them. It did blind Paul, but it didn't blind the rest of the crew. But he was taken into the city of Damascus, and there he was in the attitude of prayer for 3 days and three nights. He prayed. He prayed to God. This is quite an experience Paul had. Now, at this time, he hadn't been told what to do to be saved. Nobody come to him. Lord says, "You go up there and you'll be told what to do." Well, did the Lord tell him to pray? There's no record of it. I think that was due to his humility and due to the stress on him and to what he'd experienced. And he was praying maybe for God to send someone to him to let him know what to do, because he realized now that he was a sinner. And so after 3 days, Ananias was sent to him, came over and said, Brother Saul, receive thy sight. And now why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins, Acts 22:16. So he immediately arose. He didn't confer with flesh and blood. He was baptized that his sins might be obliterated. Now that briefly is what you have in Acts 9, Acts 22, and Acts 26. But what I want to talk to you for a little while this morning about is what Paul saw when he was blind. Even during this 3 day period when he was praying. And I want you to notice he didn't pray through. He wasn't saved by the prayer. He didn't pray through, as some people will tell you to do. You got to pray through. He had to be told what to do, you see. And he hadn't been told that until Ananias came and he told him what to do. He said, arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins. That's what he told him to do. And that's what the Lord said he'd be told what to do. He said, you go into the city and you'll be told what to do. He didn't say, go up there and pray through. Now, there's nothing wrong with a man praying, even when he's not in the church. But God doesn't give us salvation through prayer. Prayer is for the child of God. And certainly prayer is a good thing. But that's not the way you're saved. You're saved by obeying the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I want to discuss with you some of the things that Paul saw when he was blind during this 3 day period of stress and anxiety before the preacher came to him. Number one, one of the things that he saw, and I like this, is the fact that he was a sinner. And that is very important. Someone said, well, didn't he always know that? Not really. Paul thought before the Lord appeared to him that he is at the right hand of God. He thought that the law of Moses was the law he is under. He said he lived a strict life by the law of Moses. Matter of fact, he said, I was a Pharisee, and I lived it as good as any man could, and I thought that was what God wanted me to do, and I didn't think I was a sinner, and I thought if I'd have died, I'd gone to heaven. That's what Paul thought. He didn't know he was a sinner. But I want to tell you, when he's blind, he saw that he was a sinner, and he had never seen that before. And I want to say, ladies and gentlemen, you go out here and try to convert people, you've got to make them see what Paul saw when he's blind, that they're a sinner. And that isn't always easy to do. There are people who think they're on the right hand of God and they've never even been born again. Just like Paul. And I want to impress upon you, he saw this when he was blind, that he was a sinner. If you're a sinner, you're a sinner, whether you know it or not. It doesn't make any difference whether you know it. You're still a sinner. He didn't know it until the Damascus Road experience, and he found out while he was blind that he was a sinner. You know, I've tried to do personal work, and I've talked to a lot of people in my life about salvation. And one of the problems I have is the very thing that I'm talking about is they think they're already saved. And it's sometimes a little difficult to make a man understand he's not saved when he's a sinner. And sometimes he takes it as an insult. Maxine and I were talking not a few days ago about a neighbor we have. And talking about trying to convert her. She never goes to church. Sunday she stays at home. May help mow the lawn or may do something else or whatever she wants to do. Never darkens the door of a church. But she thinks that if she's died, she's on the right hand of God. She thinks that. She's never been born again. She doesn't go to any church, really. But the hardest thing is to convince her that she's in sin. She thinks she's saved. And I'd say that 90% of the people out here in the world, they may not even go to church, but they may kind of believe in God in a way, and they think they're all right. And so on Sunday, they're out mowing the lawn, or they're out doing this, or on a boat trip, or they're out doing this. They never observed the Lord's Supper. They hadn't even been born again. They hadn't even been baptized for the remission of sins. And yet they'll tell you, I'm all right. I'm okay. Are they? Well, Paul thought he was okay. But the Lord straightened him out. The Lord straightened him out. Paul, when he was blind, saw that he was a sinner. Now, I know you say, well, you're spending a lot of time on that. I tell you what, that's one of the hardest things in the world when you go out here to convert someone is to convince them they're a sinner when they are a sinner. They think they're saved as you are. I know, I talk to them. They'll talk back to you. And they sort of take it as an insult. Now, Paul didn't take it that way. The Lord had a hold of him. He struck him blind, knocked him down. And when he got up and was led into the city, he saw that he was a sinner. That's one of the things he saw when he was blind. And I want to impress that on you, ladies and gentlemen. You may not like it, but it's in the truth. It's the truth, and it's in the book. And in order to be saved, you've got to do some things. Just like the Lord told him, said, if you go in, when you go into the city, you'll be told all the things thou oughtest to do. That's what he told him. Just read the text. That's what he told him. Another thing that he saw when he was blind, ladies and gentlemen, is that he'd been ignorant, that he was an ignorant man. You know, when he wrote to Timothy in 1 Timothy 1, he said, I found mercy because I did it in ignorance and unbelief. Paul had been taught at the feet of Dr. Gamaliel. He had a good education for a Jew. Dr. Gamaliel was renowned for training Jewish children. And Paul had been tutored under him. And when he gave a record of his life, he told of all his accomplishments. And he had accomplishments as long as your arm as a Jew. So he wasn't a man who was low in IQ. That's not the point. But he said, I was ignorant. He said, I was smart in one way, but I was ignorant in another way. I had a good education among the Jews, but I was ignorant. I was ignorant of what to do to be saved. He said, I did it in ignorance and unbelief. And I want to tell you, my friends, that's what Paul saw when he's blind. And that's another thing that's very difficult to make a lot of people see who are sinners, is that they've been groping in ignorance. But yet, it's a true fact. It's a true fact. Even a greater man is Paul. And when we speak of people being religiously ignorant, it's not a reflection on their IQ. Not at all. No reflection. Because Paul had high IQ. That's not it. But you can be ignorant on what the Bible says. And you can be ignorant on what to do to be saved. And that is the point of the whole scenario here in Paul. What did Paul see when he's blind? He saw that he was a sinner. He saw that he was ignorant. And he saw that his religion was wrong. Now that's another difficult thing. Someone said, well, he wasn't a religious man, was he? He was one of the most religious men you'd ever see in your life. You talk about being full of religion. He, if you want to say, use the expression, had plenty of religion. He had plenty of it. He wouldn't have gone to the high priest and got letters of authority to bind all he found in the way unless he'd had a lot of religion, because that's what motivated him, was his religion. His religion is what drove him to do what he was doing. He was very enthusiastic. He thought the church was made up of a bunch of heretics, as I said. He was wrong. Just like people today hate the church of the Lord. A lot of people hate the church. They actually do. And they may do it in ignorance. Paul did it in ignorance and unbelief, as he said. He hated the church. Read the text. I'm not making this up. All you have to do is read these three chapters I mentioned earlier. It's in that book and all. And so Paul learned that his religion was wrong. Now, people, when you talk to them, and one man told me he didn't believe in jumping from limb to limb. He said, I don't believe in jumping from limb to limb. Well, that's all right, except if you're on the right kind of limb. But if the limb isn't sturdy, if it's rotten, you better get off of it. And so Paul learned that there wasn't anything wrong with changing his religion. Someone said, I'm just not going to change churches. I'm just not going to do that. I brought up this way and I just don't intend. Paul said, I'm going to change. And I want to tell you, if you read your Bible, you'll find he changed his religion. You sure did. And he taught us that there's nothing wrong with changing your religion if it's wrong. Someone said, but was he a religious man? I told you he was the most religious man on earth. Well, anybody could top him. Very religious man. But he found out there wasn't anything wrong with changing. He saw this when he was blind. Jesus had knocked him down with a light. And Paul saw all the things that I'm mentioning. If you don't believe it, just read the text. Just read the account of it. Another thing Paul saw when he was blind is that you can't use your conscience as a safe guide. He said, I'd lived in all good conscience before God until this day. He told the Jews that. Someone said, well, did he mean back when before he became a Christian, he was living in all good? Oh, yeah, his entire life. He had a good conscience. He was an honest man. You see, you can't accuse Paul of being dishonest. Now, you can say at one time he's ignorant, and you can say one time he is wrong, and that his religion was wrong, but you can't accuse him of being dishonest. He was not dishonest. He was an honest man. But he learned that his conscience, which he lived in all good conscience, is not a safe guide, because unless that conscience is trained in harmony with the will of God, it'll lead you astray. Someone says, what is conscience? Well, conscience is sort of your guide, whatever you've been taught. If you're an honest person, your mind tells you that some things are right and some things are wrong. And if you're guided by your conscience, you won't do those things which are wrong, but you'll do those things which are right. But unless that conscience is trained and tuned with and in harmony with this book I have open before you, the Bible, the Word of God, it's not a safe guide. But preacher, does not one, though, have to be honest with himself even though he's wrong? Yes, he does. God expects you to be honest. But that doesn't mean you're saved just because you're honest. It doesn't mean you're saved because you're following your conscience. But yet you have to be honest with yourself. But the point of it is, if you're honest, you'll learn better. And when you learn better, like Paul, you'll do better. Now, if Paul hadn't been honest, when Ananias told him what to do, he might have said, well, I don't want to mind, but Dad and Mama weren't baptized, and I'm not going to be baptized and wash away my sins. Preacher, you just go somewhere else and spread your word or whatever you're spreading. I'm not going to do that. But he was an honest man, see. Honest people, when they learn the truth, will change. Dishonest people won't. Paul was an honest man. I want to make that clear to you. Someone says, but preacher, can't you read in the Bible where there were people who heard the truth like Paul and they didn't obey it? Oh, yeah, I can give you a lot of cases of that. I can give you cases where they'd stone the preacher rather than accept the truth. They did Stephen. He said, ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, you do always resist the Holy Ghost as your fathers did, so do ye. That's what he said to those people. Those people were dishonest. They killed the preacher. Someone said, but did Stephen preach the truth? Oh, yes, he preached the truth. They just didn't want to accept it. Dishonest people. Well, you have both kinds in the Bible, but Paul happened to be on the honest side of the chart, see. Now, if he hadn't have been, he probably wouldn't have obeyed the gospel. But being an honest man, he immediately obeyed the gospel and did what the Lord told him to do, or what the preacher actually told him what to do. So he found out that conscience wasn't a safe guide. And he found out also that prayer does not save you from your past sins. I told you earlier that he was in the attitude of prayer for 3 days and three nights. I think that demonstrated his humility and his frustration and his zeal, but it wasn't designed to save him. God tells us to pray and to pray without ceasing, but the prayer is addressed to Christian people as his children. In John 9, the blind man said, we know that God heareth not sinners, but if a man be a doer of his will, him he heareth. And I think the blind man stated basically the truth. That's true. True. And so prayer is a wonderful thing, and I'm not downgrading prayer at all. Matter of fact, I encourage Christians to pray more. But I'm not going to stand up here and tell you that in order to be saved from your alien sins and past sins that prayer will do it. It won't do it. Paul saw that when he was blind, because he'd been in prayer for 3 days and three nights, and he wasn't saved. He wasn't saved. Ananias had to tell him what to do to be saved. And don't you let any preacher tell you he was saved by prayer. He was not saved by prayer. Now, I know that some preachers would tell you that. But you get your Bible and read it. You read Acts 9, you read Acts 22, you read Acts 26. All three mention the conversion of the Apostle Paul. And another thing that he learned when he was blind is that God wanted the Gentiles saved, because you know what the Lord told him? He said, "Paul, I've selected you to preach the gospel to the Gentiles." Paul was brought up as a Jew. He didn't have anything to do with the Gentiles. Matter of fact, most of the Jews didn't. But he learned when he was blind that the gospel is for all men everywhere, and not just for the Jews only. Jesus said, "Other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also must I bring in," speaking of the Gentiles, in John 10. And so he learned that he was to preach the gospel among the Gentiles, and also it says to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God. That's what the Lord told him. So the Gentiles were in darkness, but he said, "Paul, you're to preach to them, and you're to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God." Then it says also that you are to tell them to repent and turn to God. That's what he said. He said, teach them to repent and turn to God. And Paul saw this when he was blind. He understood that a person is not saved by repentance only. That a man hasn't turned to God when he repents. There's something else to do. But they did have to repent. But they weren't saved the moment they repented. Notice he said, teach them to repent and turn to God. Well, after you repent, where does the turning take place? Well, it's what Ananias told him, to rise and be baptized and wash away the sin. That's when you turn to God. Someone says, "I thought you'd already turned to God when you repented." No, read the text. You repent and turn. He didn't say repentance was turning, did he? He said repent and turn. Just like Paul said, believe and turn to the Lord. You haven't turned to the Lord when you believe, because believing is one thing and turning is another. And we find that also in Acts 6, verse 26. And so what we have here is what Paul learned when he was blind. And he also learned that he was to see Christ because he was an apostle. He saw Jesus. And as a result of this, he said later, "Have I not seen the Lord?" One of the qualifications of an apostle was to see the Lord. And we only had a few apostles. And Paul had the qualification. He learned these things when he's blind. If you're here today in subject, I hope you'll turn to the Lord. By believing, repenting, confessing, and being baptized for the remission of sins, rise to walk in the newness of life as the Apostle Paul did over 2,000 years ago. We invite you to do that as together we stand and sing our song of invitation.